So today for our scripture, any good teacher can tell you, you always have to have a lesson plan, but sometimes the class will show you what the lesson really ought to be. So it is today for Jesus, who arrives at a Sabbath feast as a guest. But along the way, he finds himself teaching about how to be a guest and how to be a host. He tells the gathered crowd a parable about a wedding feast. And so to hear it quite right, it might help to know a little something about the wedding practices of Judea in that time, in that culture. So there is, of course, a ceremony of some sort. It's usually held in people's homes. Hey, remember everybody, most people did not get married in churches until closer to the 1900s. Mostly it was in people's homes. And then there was a feast. And for the meal, people would recline or kind of sit on cushions, usually in kind of a semicircle with the bride and the groom at the head or the center, and then honored guests at their right and their left, and then folks who might have maybe a slightly lower station in the community or in their family, one seat past that, and then on down the line. It was kind of a... embodied the hierarchy of the place you were in your seating. The trick is, if you are seated and somebody of a higher station than you arrives, well then guess what? You have to resort yourself. You have to go move somewhere else so that the honored guest might take the place that you were formerly holding, where they belong. How we are to place ourselves in these sorts of hierarchies and how we are to participate or not in them is what Jesus has to talk about today. And so as Carrie comes forward to share this scripture, I would ask you to think about that. All those places in life where we are told we belong. Listen in.
Okay, the scripture is first from Luke chapter 14, verse number 1. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. And then following again in Luke chapter verses 7 through 14. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who has invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place, and then in disgrace you would start to take the lower place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes he may say to you, friend, move up higher, then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous.
At this point in my life, I have officiated over 25 or so weddings. I think I have stayed for the party maybe 3 times. It's really just not my scene. There are tons of people who are more than happy, I know, to skip the ceremony and just go to the party. I see more and more of those folks. They're glad to get to the dinner and the dancing and all that, which is maybe not surprising. So I figured this out. There's always statistics about this stuff. Weddings in the United States are, of course, averaging now $33,000 a pop. And trust me, that is not the fee for the use of the church sanctuary. So it maybe makes a lot of sense that people want to, you know, get to the main event. And we have decided with our dollars that the main event is what comes after the ceremony. It's the dinner and the dancing and, well, there's a lot of things that happen there, we know. Maybe because I spend lots of time with the couples, I always wish that they could skip the stress and the anxiety, the debt, all of that. Give me a chapel wedding any day, I guess is what I'm saying. I have a thing about, you know, if I'm doing weddings for folks outside the church, I usually say something about a flat rate or 10% of the wedding. My hope is that I'm encouraging them to get the total cost down here. And I love those the most. Partly I feel like we've got it reversed, that the ceremony should be for the wider community, because that's the process through which we recognize the newly married folks as one and bless their new life in the world. The dinner has always felt more personal to me, even though that always tends to be the bigger event. And quite honestly, personally, I don't enjoy the look on the face of the poor, distant relative who finds out that they are seated next to the pastor. And either feel like they have to watch their language for the rest of the evening. You can see them kind of holding it all in. Or like they have to unpack in glorious detail why they don't go to church anymore. The people in the room that I've always spent the most time with are the bride and the groom, and, well, they are quite honestly a little busy that day. And so it doesn't make a whole bunch of sense. I guess what I'm saying is I think an awful lot about where I sit in a wedding dinner. And Jesus assures us that that is a good thing to think about. Jesus loves a wedding, right? The start of Jesus' ministry in the Gospel of John starts with a wedding feast in Cana. He didn't perform the wedding. He just goes to the party. I don't know if he skipped the wedding. He provides wine when there is none, which I imagine then put him in pretty high demand for weddings from that point forward. It's a way to save on that total bill. Weddings are a favorite metaphor for him. He talks about the coming reign of God as the marriage of all that is, the meeting of two as one. And here, though the meal he's attending at the house of a Pharisee is not a wedding, he adds the special significance and the communal context of a wedding to illustrate his point about where those who want to follow him should look to place themselves in life. Jesus is naming a thing I think we struggle with from an early age. Where do I fit in my world? Where do I think I fit? Where do others? If we want to know how early these questions and a lot of attendant anxiety get to us, you need to look no further than the busloads of kids that have already been to school or are about to go to school in the next few days. You may have forgotten it. You may have blacked it out. But they will be figuring out who the line leader is in the days ahead, or who they should sit next to at lunch. Sometimes that never goes away. What parties they should go to if they are accepted into the right classes. Going to school is hard. Just a reminder. So many ways that we can all be measured and ranked as a society. I hear tell that that continues to go on in life. You know, maybe what college did you go to? What job you have? What church you go to, maybe? I don't hear too much bragging about that one, I don't think. Anybody else feel like you get measured a few times in the course of a week or a day? There are so many ways that the world wants to rank us. I think it's easy for us to misread the first bit of Jesus' teaching today, the reminder not to sit too high up in the pecking order, lest you get knocked down and embarrassed. One of the great things about getting a little bit older as we go every day is that we become less and less susceptible to being embarrassed. That's a good thing, right? If you spend too much time in our world, I think you can begin to hear Jesus saying all this as a reminder to know your place. And I don't think that's it. I think maybe you can start with the idea of knowing your worth, valuing yourself, but leaving room for others to shine as well. Above all, I think it stands as a warning that rules, all that they have known, all those rules are shifting in the ministry of Jesus and the breaking out of God's reign. Hierarchies will be disrupted and flipped and made new, and I'm going to say made flatter. And if you have taken too much pride in your heights, there's going to be a fall that comes. This isn't hard to imagine because it's actually happening in this story. We will read stories of Jesus and go, well, you know, everybody wanted Jesus to come to the party because Messiah, right? Who doesn't want God to show up at your house? That's not how anybody in these stories thought about Jesus. Remember that this is a poor man from Nazareth who had picked up some fishermen by the side of the road. And he was being invited all of a sudden to one of the heads of the Pharisee movement, one of the religious authorities of his time. There's a rags-to-riches thing happening right here in this story. The very fact that Jesus was in the room meant that things were being overturned, were being disrupted. It is hard not to think about all of our discussion in our society today across differences of economic status, of race and gender and sexuality, all contained in the simple word that we sometimes use as privilege. We've just had a lot of debate and a lot of argument, a lot of fighting about something that seems pretty clear. Many of us have factors in our lives which have elevated our chances, our wealth, our comfort, our safety above others, through no action or no fault of our own. For some, I think the discovery of this privilege as a concept is destabilizing. The place you knew you fit is not what it was. Sometimes they disrupt our family narratives, where generations have worked, we say, to reach the security and privilege that we occupy. But that story is never that simple, right? There is a complexity of life and connections that enable us to feel secure. In the invitation of Jesus' parable today, the challenge to those who have received places of honor, then, is to make sure that there are places for others. That there are seats at the table, and to make sure that all are honored. Because the rules of feasts must change. On his last night on earth, Jesus will sit at table with friends and will lay out the new seating chart. And I don't know if nobody's getting seated next to the pastor from the wedding or everybody is. Whatever the good one is, that's what's going to happen. All are to be welcomed, all honored as guests of the Most High God. And Jesus points us to this reality too as hosts. When we here inside this wonderful space invite each other to each other's feasts, well, that does nothing to transform the world. As Jesus says, well, you can just be repaid by another invitation and the circle stays closed. To transform the world, we will have to invite the uninvited. We will have to make the feast a celebration of our differences, not a validation of our sameness. We will have to give ourselves away, with no hope of return, to set this table. We will have to disarm and set down all those privileges which have too often been weapons. So yesterday in Odessa, Texas, there was another multiple victim shooting in this country. And we were reminded again that even safety from violence is a privilege that is distributed unevenly in this nation. We have been reminded through our asylum-seeking families that security and shelter, food and prosperity are not equally distributed around the world. So the challenge then for us who would be guests of the wedding feast of the Messiah is to make room, to honor, to welcome to table all equally, grounded in the truth that that is the table that has been set for us by Jesus. Because the world will find a way to measure you unless you ground yourself in the immeasurable love of God. And ground all you are and all you do in that as well. So we come to this table regularly, and I hope you hear me say every time, all you have to be fed at this table, is hungry. The feast is prepared for all equally, and all may equally draw near to the guest of honor. All of us participate in the wedding feast of body and spirit, which is new life in Jesus Christ, as honored guests. In all we do, then, may we gather others in to celebrate the marriage of all life and spirit in God's love and God's peace. Be unafraid to draw the circle wider and gather all into the feast. Amen.